the noise. I'd rather learn Chazayinish without noise, so it'll be recorded. We are on Perek Gimel, Oischav Beis, in my Sefer, it is the third paragraph. The Amr Baba Kama Memalov Amid Beis. Shimon Hamsuni, V'Amr Lo Lechemya Hamsuni, Ha'idarish Kol Esen Shabbat Torah. He darshened every S in the Torah. Even Shagil Es Hashem Lekecha Tira. He got to Es Hashem Lekecha Tira. He didn't know what to darshan. Pirish. He stopped. He said, obviously I'm wrong. Because if I were right, there would be a drasha from Es Hashem Lekecha Tira. And since there is not, must be every S is not a drasha. Achabara Bekiva Belimeid, Es Hashem Lekecha Tira, L'Rabbis Tamid HaChachamim. So Bekiva came along, and he said, Es Hashem Lekecha Tira, L'Rabbis Tamid HaChachamim. The Mashal over there asks, what did Shimon Hamsuni do with V'haftas Hashem Lekecha, which precedes Es Hashem Lekecha Tira? Why over there didn't he stop? Why only by Es Hashem Lekecha Tira did he stop? I am Mashal Kedushin, and he says the answer, which I am not 100% sure if I remember, so I don't want to quote it. L'madnu. The person, I guess, what does he say?
Character.
Character, okay. The person, Hayyaisr Chamuda, who's more desired, Vayyaisr Ma'ula, who's the best, may Akara Satira from the view of the Torah, Yaisha Saroy Likara B'Shem Tamachacham, is the person that can be called a Tamachacham. Rabbi Kiva had to find somebody. He didn't have to, but he felt he found somebody that he can learn out from as Hashem Lekecha Tira. Obviously, you're going to go to the highest person there is. You're not going to include as Hashem Lekecha Tira the resident farmer, right? Fear the resident farmer. Obviously, he's looking for something that you can include from as Hashem Lekecha Tira. So he's obviously going to give you the Bechir, the chosen one, the one that's most likely, the most that Rabbi Kiva feels is likely, not only is likely, but is, included from Es Hashem Lekecha Tira. Here's Rabbi Kiva Le'atzmai. Rabbi Kiva allowed himself. It took a big chiddush for Rabbi Kiva. He was willing to equate the fear of a human to the fear of the Rabbi Yisraelim. Now, obviously, that human has to be the highest level human. Well, Rabbi said, "Because the Es Hashem, Kai, Eifay Emneda, Etakinyanim Achamudim, Asher Yadam Kaz Hashem Tamachachem." I think Eifay he means now, or he doesn't translate it. Eifay, since this is so, if we would find out what makes a person a Tamachachem. We'd find out the most treasured actions that are beloved in the eyes of Hashem. Because if the highest human is a Talmud Chacham, that means the act of becoming a Talmud Chacham is what the Rabbi Yisrael is about. And in his running the world, in his actions on the world, during his Tzvah Yamav, the host of his day, out his lifetime. Okay. So Mamela, there's a background noise. So Mamela, what the Chazon said, Rabbi Kiva tells us the highest form of person is Talmud Chacham. Okay, so what does a person do to become a Talmud Chacham? That's going to be the highest level actions that a person can do. So he met his Lefuleinu HaShaila. So now we have the Shaila. Ma Dinish of Talmud Chacham? What is the din of Talmud Chacham? Ma Shema in Tairish Menu? What does the name Talmud Chacham require? Mahu Mahusai, what is his essence? Mamekai Chagadol. And with what does he have such great power that Rabbi Kiva is willing to equate him to the Rabbi Yisraelim? V'nebidvarim tzarim, in short words, Hiskel HaRamazal, your day is simmerashim gemul sivbeis. Ramah was successful?
Yes.
Lahatzig es tumunase ami'ira, to establish, to set apart, to set up the Tumanasai picture?
Portrait
that lights up the Kaine Haida in the rays of its beauty. Okay? And we will leave it for tomorrow, Meretz Hashem. Everybody should have, it's 6:00, you know, we want to become Tamil Chacham, we got to learn Gemara.
Is there a way today to find out?
What?
No,
you can go ahead. Stopped the conference and I started this one, so people shouldn't have to listen to Chazon Ish if they want to listen to this year. I wanted to give him that option.
Hit six, five times, and it's a minute each time. You're done at six.
Okay. We are up to three lines in the bottom, Membeis Amid Beis. That's what we're up to. Three lines in the bottom on Membeis Amid Beis. The Gemara said yesterday that the Gemara talked about that according to either Rabbi or Rabbi Yosef, depending which shot in your rush you learned, the Gemara came out with Maskana that Tumah v'Tumah, if a Nazir is Tumah and he becomes Tumah again, unless there's an additional Tumah, there would not be a extra lav because he's already tumah. It's only when, by becoming that additional tumah, he adds a level of tumah, then he has an additional lav. So if the marshal, the nazir, was touching a mace and touched a second mace, he would not be over anything because he's already tumah and he's not adding any new tumah to his level of tumah. Whereas if a nazir was not touching a mace and then touched a mace, since at the moment he touched a mace, he potentially had a higher level of tumah, meaning he had a higher level of tumah that could potentially pass to the person that he touches at that time. So therefore, he's over the law. That's what the Gemara ended up. But the Gemara also said that if a person enters a house, he's over two lavin, tameh and entry, because the Torah said lo yitameh and lo yavai. That's what we had till now, and we're up to the last three lines of the Gemara.
Well, again, just explain to me one more time. What is the case of how a person can get more tumah?
If he was tameh, and then touched the mace. So even though, while he's touching the mace, he has more power of tumah, he's more tameh. Because at that moment, had he touched somebody else, that person would become an avatumah. I shouldn't say that. Would be tummy for 7 days. And therefore, he increased his level of tumah for those moments that he's touching the second mace. So therefore, he's over a lot.
There are three peak mace in that. Yeah.
No, two mace. Two mace. One mace. One mace and two people.
Right. Well, he's tummy. He touches somebody. At that moment, he could also be matame someone else.
If he touches a mace, one second. He touched a mace. He didn't have to be tummy before he touched a mace. He touched a mace, and while he touched a mace, he touched somebody else. That person's tummy for 7 days. So if he was tummy beforehand, and then touched...
A third person.
You count the mace as one. I didn't count the mace as a person. I counted the mace as an object.
Okay.
Right. So if he was tummy already, and now touched a mace, he increased his level of tumah temporarily. And therefore, he's over a lav. Whereas, if he was already touching a mace and then touched the second mace, he has not increased his level of tumah, and therefore, he would not be over a lav.
There's no argument in the Mishnah.
That's not true. There's an argument on the Roim, but whatever way it is, that's how the Gemara came out with Askana. According to one shot, the Rasha was passing like Rabba. According to the other shot, the Rasha was passing like Rabbi Yosef. That makes no difference to us now. That's the maskana of the Gemara as far as what we proceed with.
Why do you say there's no
shot in the Rishayim said there's no argument. According to one shot in the Rishayim, Rabba and Rabbi Yosef held even if there's no additional tumah, and we slugged up Rabbi Yosef. And according to the other shot in the Gemara, Rabba said there is never an additional tumah, even if there's an additional level of tumah, he's still not over another lav, and we slugged up Rabba. One of the two got slugged up, depending on two shots in the rush. That's what we did yesterday. Now, we start another piece of Gemara. The Gemara says, bottom line is, if there's no additional tumah, there's no lav. That means if the person was touching mace A, and while he's touching mace A, the nazir touched mace B, he would not be over another lav, because he's not adding any tumah. He's touching the mace at the moment he's touching the second mace. Right? That's how we learned the Brisa. He was carrying a mace, and they handed him a second mace. We learned the bride said that he's not Iver. He's Mechul of the Iver. He's not adding a level of tumah. That's what we came out with yesterday. Zog the Gemara.
He has only 7 days of...
It's nothing to do with him. The fact that he can make somebody else tummy for 7 days is an extra level of tumah for him. Who said there's a problem? Again. One Amira has a problem. There was a Machloikas Amiroim. One Amira is left with a problem. And Rabba. And one Amira is left with the problem. That's all. We don't have a problem because we pass in one way. One of the Amiroim is left with a problem.
Why can't the one Amira who says there's only one?
Because the Gemara is assuming there is a Machloikas. And what you want to say is what I wanted to say originally yesterday, was I was wrong, is that at the end of the day, there's no machlokes. And everybody is happy to live happily ever after.
Can't do that.
The Gemara says there is a machlokes. So if there is a machlokes, one of the ones can use the answer of the Gemara and one of the ones can't, depending on what each Amira said. And in that, there's two pshatim in the Rush. That would have been what Yitzchak Margaret would have said, that the Gemara of the Maskana is saying there's no machlokes. But the Gemara is not saying that, according to the Rishayim, and they know a million trillion times better than me. And they're saying that the Gemara says there is a Machlokes. And therefore, our answer that we gave could only fit into one of the two. Which one of the two will depend on the two pshatim you have in the Rush. Zog the Gemara. Avil Tumah, three lines in the bottom. Avil Tumah v'tumah loy, zometami v'koyim. But if it's Tumah v'tumah, which means he's touching a mace, and then he touches another mace, he would not get an extra malchus, because he's as tummy as he was before, he is now. There's no additional tumma, even temporarily.
Same time.
That's what we said. I'm sorry?
Quoting Rava now?
Again, which shot in the Rush do you want to go with? According to the first shot in the Rush, this was Rava. According to the second shot in the Rush, this was Rabbi Yosef. It's not Negeyas now. Whoever it is, it is. We're saying what we ended up with Maskana. Going to the first shot in the Rush, we slugged up Rabbi Yosef. Going to the second shot in the Rush, we slugged up Rava. And this is what we remain with.
He used the word Sotomotomo.
I'm sorry, I can't talk to two people one time. What? Yes.
What did Yosef say about Sotomotomo? What did Yosef say? When did he say that?
Again, we had a stira of a Brice and a Mishnah. The Brisa said, once he's Tameh, there's no second love. The Mishnah said, out the Tameh, there is a second love.
Yes.
To reconcile that, we have to be Mechalek between the guy who is Tameh and adds Tumah, and Tameh and doesn't add Tumah. I'm not interested in the Hebrew word now. The one that adds Tumah and the one that doesn't add Tumah. Which Amira agrees to that difference? So the two pshatim will decide. So if you learn that it's a teretz in Rabbi Yosef, that means Rabbi Yosef agrees that tumah b'tumah under certain circumstances does not get a second malchus. Exactly. Whoever we said this teretz in is saying that tumah b'tumah lies.
But Rabba said those words, correct?
The question is, when did he mean it? Always? Even if it's Shaloi B'chiburim and now it is B'chiburim? Second shot in the Rush? Or only when it's not an additional tumah, only when it's B'chiburim? We don't know B'chat and Rabba. The Rush had one shot, then he had a second shot. I'm trying to figure out, it's my fault maybe, I didn't explain the Gemara well yesterday, but it sounds here like nobody has any clue of what I said yesterday. There's two pshatim in the Rush. That two pshatim in the Rush will determine what Rabbi says and what Rabbi Yosef says.
How long would it take to go through that Rush again?
I don't care if I have to do the whole Gemara over again today. But again, I'm just an agent here. I don't mind reteaching a Gemara. I've been relearning a Gemara. That's what I do. I don't care. You know, but what difference does it make? To the Rebbeinu Shem Tyrus Tyra, you know what I mean? Doesn't care if I learn new or learn old. Do you want me to reteach the Gemara? Reteach the Gemara.
It's the Rush.
You want me to? I can't read the Rush without reading the Gemara, right?
I think we understand the Gemara.
Well, obviously not, because the Gemara and Rush has to be talked about the Gemara.
I'm still stuck. It seems like learning the Gemara without the Rush, that there's no machlokes.
Again, so I...
Yeah,
again. The Rishayim say that can't be.
Right.
You know what I will do? I won't learn the Rush inside. I will read the Gemara again with two pshatim of the Rush.
Okay.
And that way, without learning the rest of the time, which will take longer, I will learn just the Gemara two times, one with the first shot of the rush and one with the second shot of the rush. Zuck the Gemara. Itmar. Let's start again. Top line, Membeis and Membeis. Amar Rabba Baravam Ravuna. Mikri Mali Dibra Kasif. La Yitame. There's a pasuk that says La Yitame under any circumstance. That means the Torah includes any way of getting Tumma. That the Nazir is, again, I want to fix the words I just said. Nazir is not Chayiv and Ultimus. A Nazir can be a Zav, I mean, a Nazir can be a Balkari, a Nazir can be a Matzaira, a Nazir can be Tumas Sheretz, Tumas Nevela, doesn't bother us. Only Tumas Meis bothers us, and as we will learn as we proceed through Masechta, not even every Tumas Meis. But that's not Negeas now. For our purposes now, the Torah says, Lo Yitame shouldn't become Tummy from a mace. And at this point, we'll say, any way he can become Tummy from a mace. It doesn't make a difference if he touches the mace. It doesn't make a difference if he's in the room with the mace. The Torah banned him from becoming Tummy. That's Mikra Mole. Any circumstance that he becomes Tummy from a mace, the Torah said, Lo Yitame. Then the Torah said, Lo Yavai, Shloimer Lo Yavai, which is an extra pasuk, because that's included in Lo Yitama. Must be La Zira La Tumah, La Zira La Bia. Then he can be over to Lava. For Tumah and for Bia. Now, at this point, the Rush cheated, Chas V'Shalom, but I meant to say, he told us the Gemara later, that that happens when a person enters a room, at that moment he's doing two Lava. He's being Matami himself, and he's entering a room with a mace. It's simultaneous.
He's coming himself because...
He's walking into a room with a mace.
That's Ohel.
That's right.
Second one.
He walked into a room. Layavai. I'll never mace Layavai.
That's Ohel.
Again, there's two laven for walking into the room. One for walking into the room, and one for becoming Tame. The same act has two laven.
Better be
doing that. Just not confuse situations.
Those two lavas?
Yes. You have to warn him about those two lavas. But if you were out in the field and he became tamei, touched a mace, it would only be one lava. There's no layavai. He didn't enter into a room.
Right.
Layavai
only helps me by, only hurts me by,
oh no.
Correct.
Why would you give me two by the field?
There is not. There's no layavai.
Right.
Again, I was just saying chapter tomorrow. Avo, Tumah v'Tumah Loi. But if a Nazir is Tameh and becomes Tameh again, he will not get a second Malkus. Now, stop right there. What is the case that Rabbi says Tumah v'Tumah Loi? Is that even if he's adding Tumah the second time, or only when he's not adding Tumah the second time? When Rabbi says the word Tumah v'Tumah Loi, a Nazir is Tameh, that touches Tumah again, that becomes Tameh again, will not get a second lav. What is that case? When the second tumah doesn't add anything temporarily? Or even when it does? What did Rabbah mean when he said the word tumah v'tumah loy? Which case did he mean? Tumah v'tumah loy always? Or tumah v'tumah loy if there's no additional tumah? Tumah and Bia, as you walk into a room, one is committing the lav at simultaneous. Tumah and Tumah is going to be subsequent.
He's already in the room.
Then he's not even Layavai.
He's already in the room.
Why are we complicating matters? He's Tumah. Depends. Is he adding Tumah? Is he not adding Tumah? Now you're going into a different Shaila.
What does Tumah and Tumah mean? But who can be
in Tumah?
Right. You get that
be in Tumah. You get two laven. And Tumah and Tumah, you only get one lav.
What's the case of Tumah?
That's the Makhlo. Again, I ask again. What is Rabbah's case of Tumah and Tumah? Again, let me explain. What is the Rabbah's case of Tumah and Tumah? Is it a case when he's Tameh and then he was touching a mace, and then he touched a second mace at the same time, so there's no additional tumah? That's when Rabbi said tumah v'tumah loy. Or, he was not touching a mace, and he touched a mace, so now he's adding a temporary level of tumah. Even then, Rabbi says no.
Why is he adding?
Because why? This is the I've been knocking this into your head for 25 hours, that when a guy is touching a mace, he has greater tumma power. So therefore, it's an addition.
He's touching the other mace also?
Touching one mace, and now he touches the second mace.
Okay.
Nothing is added.
Right.
But nothing but. Therefore, for sure, he's not adding. Rabbi says, tumma b'tumma lai.
But if he's tumme in the field.
But if he's tumme without being touching it, he touched a mace yesterday, and today he touches the second mace. While he's touching the second mace, he has a higher level tumma.
Because
he can touch somebody else and make him tumme for 7 days during that time. This is the point you've been bothered by in the last 25 hours. When a person touches a mace, while he's touching the mace, he touches somebody, the guy becomes tumme for 7 days. The minute he stops touching the mace, he can't pass that on.
One day,
so during that time, he's in a higher level tumma.
Actually, it would be more accurate to say that
he's in a different state. I'm in Ohio. I go through this all the time. Yes.
It's the same as...
What difference does it make how we word it? But as long as we understand it, I know words are important, and I know the shorter you can teach, the better you are, but as long as we understand it, I'm not going to get involved in how to best word it. Rav Yosef Amar, Alakim Amar Avuna Filatama Vitama. Now, if depending on what case Rabbi is going on, we'll decide what case Rav Yosef is going on. In the first chat of the Rush learns Rabbi only said Tumma Vitama when you're touching mace A and touch mace B. So there's no addition to ma. So Rabbi says there's no love. And Rav Yosef is saying, no. Even if there's no additional to ma, there is a love. According to the first side in the Rush, Rabbi is the one that differentiates between raising the level of tumma and not raising the level of tumma. And when he said tumma b'tumma lo, he meant when there is no raising the level of tumma, he's touching mace A and touches mace B at the same time. So then he didn't add anything. But if he would be tamei from touching somebody a mace yesterday and touched a mace today, he would be chayav an extra lav. Rabbi would say that. And Rav Yosef comes along and says, no. Even when he's touching one mace and touches the second mace, he gets tumma v'tumma. That's one way of learning the machlokes. So according to that shot, Rabbi differentiates between chaburim and not chaburim, and Rav Yosef does not differentiate. That's shot one in the rush. Shot two in the rush is, no. Rabbi said tumma b'tumma loy even when he was tumma and then touched the mace. He had touched the mace yesterday and touched the mace today. Even though he's a higher level tumma, we don't care. He's not chayiv. He's tumma already. He doesn't get an extra love. And Rav Yosef says, no. Sometimes he does get an extra love when he adds potential to his tumma. So according to the first side of the rush, Rabbi makes a differentiation. And Rav Yosef makes no differentiation. He says Yochayev regardless. And according to the second chat of the Rush, it's Rabbi that makes no differentiation. And Rav Yosef who makes the differentiation. And he's the one that makes the difference. And Rabbi would say, you're never Chayev a Tumma v'tumma. Even if the guy wasn't touching a mace and then touched a mace.
Thank you.
Now, the Gemara then proceeds and brings a stira between a Braisa and a Mishnah. Where the Braisa says, one does not get an extra lav for being metame himself. And the Mishnah says, al tatame be al tatame, you get an extra lav for every warning. The Braisa emphasized the Gemara, that the difference is he raising his level of tumma, or is he not raising his level of tumma? Now, who is the Gemara agreeing with that answer? Rabbah or Rav Yosef? That depends on the two terutzim of the Rush. So according to the first answer of the Rush, we slugged up Rav Yosef, because he's the one that didn't differentiate. According to the second answer of the Rush, we slugged up Rabba, because he's the one that didn't differentiate. We, because we have the contradiction between the Braisa and the Mishnah, have to differentiate. So we picked sides, and we passed them one way. That's yesterday's two pshatim of the Rush. Avram, your problem is understanding the raising the level of the tumma. It's only temporarily, but it's a raise in the level of the tumma. Okay, three lines to the bottom. I will tumma b'tumma loy. But the end of the day is if he didn't raise his level of tumma, he's touching mace A and touches mace B, he does not get an umalkus. That's how we paskened. Based on the contradiction between the Braisa and the Mishnah, that's how we came out. because the mit mitzvah, he was already tamei. So the Gemara's kasha is tumah be a nami on the tamei b'koy. So if he's touching a mace and walks into a room where there's another mace, why is he ever alive? Why is he ever another alive? He didn't add any tumah. Why?
The mace at the moment he walked in.
He was carrying a mace and walked in. He also wouldn't get another malchus. Why is that any different? There's no level raise of tumah. So why, by tumah v'tumah, we say if he doesn't raise the level, there's no malchus because he's tamei already. So why, when he goes into a house while he's carrying a mace, is he chayver entry?
Who says he is?
Because the beginning of the Gemara it said, "Vayavoy lazir ala tumah lazir ala bia." The first three lines of the Amid Beis.
Maybe we're talking about a case where he walked in, but it was
tumah. And for the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, "Bekam b'bayis, kam b'sada." The case of the attic is talking about a charge that a person walks into a house. So he's simultaneously doing both. And that's when I said the Rush explained it that way all the way at the beginning, because the Rush knew the Gemara. And he decided not to let you wait. He told you the Matzgan of the Gemara. But when the Gemara asked the Kasha, the Gemara assumed the guy was carrying a mace and walked into a room, and the Gemara wanted to know why is he having an extra love, and the answer is he doesn't. Hubba bias, if he enters a house as a targetic person, he will get two malchusen because it's simultaneously. Hubba sada, when he's out in the field, there's no layavai, right? There's no layavai. Therefore, either he adds to him or he doesn't add to him, depending on the story, whether he was carrying a mace or he wasn't carrying a mace. Yes?
According to the second shot, Rava, if he was to walk into a house one day, from Tohar, he gets a lot. And then tomorrow, he does the same thing. He walks into the house because he's doing it to him again.
Okay, so now that depends on something Rabbi Schutz pointed out yesterday. Is there tumah b'chaburim through ayel?
Well, it's not chaburim.
So then what is he adding?
Well, we said according to the second shot in Rabbah, he doesn't hold this.
Correct. So you would never get a lot for tumah. You wouldn't get a lot for this either. Yesterday somebody pointed out, why isn't the extra day considered a hisaf as tumah? Somebody asked it. Maybe you. I don't know who asked yesterday. Again, don't mix the two maliyara. Pick one side or the other side. You can't jump back and forth and expect me to understand which side you're going with. I'm not a Navi. We're forgetting about those two amaroyim. We paskind. So whatever amaroyim we paskind like, we paskind like. So at this point, the machlokes amaroyim is history. We paskind. So now, in the psak we gave, we said that if you don't add tumah, there's no extra love. So the question is, the guy's carrying a mace that walks into a room, he's not adding tumah. So why did he get the love of lo yavai? The answer is, he's not walking in carrying a mace. He's walking in as a targeting a person. So that person will get two love for entry into the house, because simultaneously, he has violated two love.
Is it because that...
The Torah wrote it two times.
I understand that, but what's it got to do with Hosafa?
At that point, it has no do with Hosafa. At this point, nothing. However, when he's in the field, and he would touch two mason simultaneously, he would only get one lap.
Because Lo Yavo doesn't apply.
Exactly! Exactly. What?
Walking into the field with a mace.
That's not aisle.
So he gets one if he's within.
What aisle? But that's a drop bottom of the Dalai Lama. That's right.
He needs
to
swear because he does not know there's a mace in the house.
I'm asking you, the guy's Machal Shabbos, he needs to swear. Why? Why does anybody need that swear for anything? Why all of a sudden is it bothering you now? Call it Tairakula. Nobody gets Malkus unless he gets a swear. Why? Why over here is it bothering you more than anybody else?
I don't know, because I've never heard anybody say before this, I don't remember rather, that there's two lav in here.
That's why we learn, so we can find this out.
So In other words, he needs Asra on both, obviously.
Yeah, the guy eats a sheretz. Eats a turtle.
If he has not Asra, he doesn't know there's a Mason house.
Again, here you go again. Why do we need Asra? Because of lack of knowledge, or because the Torah obligated Asra? Why do you have to warn a guy not to be Mechalel Shabbos? Because he doesn't know the halakos of Shabbos? Or because he has the Torah requires a warning before we give a punishment?
The latter.
It's a Machlokes. Machlokes Tanoim.
I don't know.
Even there's the Gemara, because the Gemara brings two cheetahs.
Because a person knows that there's someone there, that he doesn't really need Asura.
A person knows that it's Asura to turn on a light on Shabbos.
But he also does not need Asura.
But that's a Machlokes. One man the other says he will not get punished. In fact, we paskin that way. He will not get punished unless he's warned right away before. Yeah, we're not talking about upstairs. Upstairs, everybody runs his own books. We don't have to get involved.
Why
do
we do this? You get punished up there? No, he's down there.
He's
not
going
to be up there.
Okay, whatever it is.
I never understood that.
Okay.
So if you go, so Tomorrow he does the same thing. That's not additional.
Not additional tumah. Gakdarash. Tumah b'yanami.
Where is that?
I have it four lines at the bottom of my rush, but I have no idea where you have it. Dumya the tumah b'tumah d'leilaki gamesak seifai. He's carrying a mace. Why should I mace achar? And they added him a second mace. D'leilaki, they ain't contact the tumah. There's no additional tumah. Tumah b'yanami. Why mesak seifai b'nichnas loyla mace? D'leilaki. If he's carrying a mace and walks into the mace, so I'm a chulav oimer. He's already desecrated. Then contact sefer tumah. There's no additional tumah. Kamba bias. Adam tar anichnas loyla mace. V'hisru bay. Mishum lo yave, mishum lo yitame. He's a tardic person who enters a house and they warn them for two abim. Like a bays. Shishnei and bo kechad. They both came simultaneously. V'loy hayam a chulav oimer. And when he walked in, he was not desecrated. Avu besada. The lekayo. The mishkachas yoka base. He won't get malchus two times. Why? The imnag of a base in basachas v'hisru by hashneim loylaki. If he's touching two mason at the same time, he won't get malchus. Elecha the shame the giyakoy lecha. He's the same lav. The guy does 8 two gzesim in one swallow. He doesn't get two. It's like eating two gzesim of chaylev. It's one eating. It's one touching. The fact that he touched two mason doesn't make a difference. Frank the Gemara, we got a problem now. There is no simultaneous. When a person walks into a house, it's a process. First little part of him goes in, then the rest of the body goes in. Lo Yavai is only when most of his body is in. Lo Yitame is even when a small part of his body is in. The minute a little piece of his body entered the room, he became Tame. He violated the law of Lo Yitame. He has not violated the law of Lo Yavai. At that moment, that split second, he has violated law number one, and he's already Tame. His finger went into the room. He is a Tame person, the Nazir, who just violated the law of Lo Yitame.
Any part.
His finger, his toe, his nose. Any part. And in Layavai, he only violates what a majority of his body is in. It's not called entry if his majority of the body is not in. Frak de Gemara, there's no simultaneous. Entry requires part going in before the majority goes in. So let's see what the Gemara has to say. That's why we're learning Gemara. Frak de Gemara, Babayas Nami. It's not Chai. We'll see why that doesn't count. Babayas Nami. Kivin Ayo Yadei, we're assuming his hand walks in front of him. That's an assumption. It's time. He became Tame. Kiyayo Kule, Hai Tameyo, he's already Tame. He's not adding any Tumah. So why is he ever Loyavai? Elam Rablazer, Siruv Yadai. Mishim Tumah Inka, Mishim Bialeka. If he stretched out his hand, you're right. Siruv here means stretched out. I don't know what article translated today. Extend. However, Siruv Gufai. But if he keeps his hand next to his body, the word serif seems to have two different meanings here. How did he learn the second serif?
Into his body.
What?
Oh,
extended his body. Okay. He kept his hand next to his body, so the hand didn't enter first. So then, So then, the way he walks in, there's nothing extending. So his majority walks in at the same time. Frag the Gemara, his nose goes in first. Benachas leituma. Elam Rava, hichnis yadai, mishum tuma ikka mishum bialeka. You're right. If he put his hand in first, or his nose in first, it would be not simultaneous. Hichnis gufai betuma, hichnis gufai, when he moves his head back and walks in that way, then the majority walks in at the same moment. There's no, what? That's the pshat in the Gemara. That's how the Rishayim explained the Gemara. I don't know how Arskor, but Arskor explains it, but that's how the Rishayim explained it. He keeps his head back so his nose doesn't go in first.
You walk
in,
your foot
goes
first?
Frag the Gemara. Well, you have to, so his toe goes in first. And for the Gemara, your Rabbi Nachas Lutuma. And for the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Papa, now Chenichnas Beshida Teva Migdal. He entered in a box. And he, nothing is coming. He's in a box. He's prevented, the box prevents the Tuma. It's a certain size box. We're not learning Yochas Tuma now. It has to hold Mem Sa.
Big box.
Big box. You want to know the dimensions? The way we pask it, according to a Baruch Tomei, 1 by 1 by 3 is considered a box that's not Mekabel Tuma.
1 by 1 what?
1 by 1 amma by 3 ammas. The area has to be a 1 by 1 by 3. It's Negeya, by the way, as an aside, and I know I'm going to open up a can of worms. A person that wants to have a relationship with his wife and there's a safer in the room, and he puts it in a little drawer, is that enough to be considered out of the room? Now, he can do 2 coverings, and then it's 2 coverings, that's good. But a drawer is only 1 covering. However, if the cabinet is a 1 by 1 by 3, so then it's in a different rishus. It's out of the room. So let's say a guy has a dresser in his room, that's a 1 by 1 by 3, and the safer is in the dresser, then it's out of the rishus. However, he has a night table, which is not a 1 by 1 by 3, so then it would need a double covering. Again, that's how I know the shear of 1 by 1 by 3. That's what? What? Yeah, that's the shear mikvah, right? That's where it comes from. Now, that's the practical application today. That's what I meant. Okay. We're not mekabel tuma. We don't. The mikvah is made for us. We don't. The shear mikvah is 3, 1 by 1 by 3. It holds 40 stuff. That's the shear. Anyway, back to here. So he was in a box, and then what happened is a bachaveri para over some aziva. Somebody came and took off the cover. The tumubiya badia dadikasim. So now it happened simultaneously. No part of his body entered first.
He's giving us rot to who?
The guy in the body. So we're going to see in a minute. That's what Rush will talk about. So we have to see the Rush. That's why we learn Gemara with Rush. Zucked. Zucked the Rush.
He himself couldn't push the...
That's good question. That's why we're learning Rush. It's amazing.
You're asking
a great question. It is a great question.
The bottom line is...
It is a good question, by the way.
I'm guaranteeing, going that there, this question is on the test. There's no question about that.
There's no question about a question. Okay. Look to Rush. Part of the buy is Nami. How much you're paying me, so I should keep that guarantee. Frag the Gemara, Eichli Mishkakas, you know, this could be a ploy that I shouldn't put it on the test, so he guarantees that it's on the test. Eichli Mishkakas, Shivayu Shneim Bechat. The key was Eichli Shadal Abayas, once you put his hand in. Avda Dayla, there's an addition of 3 words here from the Shita. Avda Dayla Nichnas Kogufoy, even though his body did not enter, Kilu Nagabez Boy Bemace. He, like, touched it with a mace. The basic command of Mayan Tumadami. The house is full of tumah. He's already desecrated. So why is he chayav for loyavai? Mashali, the eats here if you are the pirish. Because if you are the tchila, the bias, should be a leka, there is no beer. Tchir of gufai, pirish, hayadav tzufais, utkufais for gufai. His hands were attached to his body, which means right next to his body. So the mefarshim speak out, that the word tchirav is used in 2 different ways here. Shirav means extended, and then tiruv means right next to, right? Chayav beis. Well, under suparach, after the tiruv gufa, he actually had a chayt mebereisha. His nose went in first. But it makol gufa chaydim shichnis rubai. Meshani hichnis reishai, vadeh lekim shabia. You're right. Hichnis gufa. So listen to this, Rosh. Gonsha akar, and that number of ches. He said she came. He bent reishai lachayrav. He moved his head back. The nichnis reiv gufay kaidem before shehichnis reishai chayav beis. His head wasn't first. His head was back, and therefore his body entered before his head, and therefore it's simultaneous. Well, the super after the nichnis gufay actually highlights, but the karab reishai, his toe went in first. Now, Frank the Rush, maybe he walked him backwards, and when you walk him backwards, there's nothing first. There's nothing first.
Your heel.
That's not true. Your heel is, you walk in with your, when you step back with your heel, you're most, it's not the toe that extends beyond your whole body. The heel is even with your body. Zog the Rush, the way much in the book, because the shnichnis derech ha-chayrav, she'ein zeh derech v'ya. For chayiv le'yava, you have to enter the way normal people enter. They don't walk backwards, and they don't jump. Because the kamin of a pair of kama the chulin of a pair of beis neshuas.
Akar and all those other things are yavo. That's how we got.
Yeah, because that's it. It's, by the way, that kasha is asked. But if a guy's in a box, this is the normal way of getting in.
Before we got the answer of box, it says, oh, the toe.
But that's normal. You walk in with your toe first.
No, then we have the things are on the side and all these.
But that's all normal. That's all normal. People walk in like this and people walk in like this. People walk in like this and people walk in like this. There's a normal ways of entry. The Gemara said the Rush is not satisfied. Because he says, on any carriage you could have said, even when you're walking with everything together, it's not majority at the same time. It's impossible. You don't put 51% of your body in at the same time. A little bit, 10% of your body walks in first. 25% of the body walks in first. Even if you're walking with the main body, your head's backwards and your toe is backwards. I don't know how you would do that, but it doesn't make a difference. The bottom line is, it's not 51% at the same time. But I am mid goofy, it should be a lekha, I am rupa. Anyway, you could have slugged it up. He has to be involved. The Eloi of his lucky. How can you warn the guy, don't get take it off? He's not taking it off. It's a lot of shame of Maisa. He's not stopping the guy from taking it off. Not telling the guy not to take it off, but for that you don't get Malkus. Must be he's involved in it too. The Chayiv, the Amr Haidu Malkus. Now, Frank is the Chassam Seifer. The guy was taking it off. They warned the guy on the inside. Do not help the guy take off the top. You're doing two lavin at the same moment. Because if not, he's not doing a maisa. He must be involved. If you warn the guy on the inside, don't let your friend do it. For that, you don't get malchus. Each one can do it by himself. So they're chayav. Well, no, each one can do it by himself. It's not chayav usually. Maybe they couldn't do it by themselves. They needed both of them to do it. Now, the kasha of some cipher has is Rav Kohn's kasha. That a minute the guy uncovered part. Now, why can't the guy open it himself? Why did the Gemara have to have his friend involved? He picked up the top. Dr. Rush, because when you pick up the top, you're picking up part first as you open the top. So as soon as you open a little bit, you become tamei, and the right body is not in there. But therefore, if your friend does it together with you, the whole thing can be lifted in 1 second. It's simultaneous. That's what the Chassam Seifer says.
You suppose if you open the box, the top a little bit.
So you expose your body to tumma, but you're not in the room. Your majority of your body is not in the room.
So what part of your body is in the room?
Doesn't make a difference. If you're in a box that's exposed to the room, you become tumma.
If they open up the top slightly.
So that the tumma comes in?
And affects the whole body.
Affects anything in the box.
Okay. I was about to ask a question more about Basada. And previous Rosh. Is there such a thing as lo yavo including the branch on tree?
No.
That's exclusive to house or building.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe there is. Maybe going under a tree would be lo yavo. if it's an ayol. It's not so simple that a branch can be an ayol. Midoraisa. It's not so simple. If it is, then you would have a problem. But if sada means there's no trees, there's nothing in the field. Dr. Gemar Vajra. And now we introduce a whole new topic. The guy walked in, and the person in the room is in his death throes. And they warned him, and they said, don't go in. That guy is dying. He walked in while the guy was still alive. And as soon as he walked in, the guy passed on. The tumu biyabadi adadikas. That's the case. He walked in. At the moment he walked in, he hasn't done anything wrong yet. But he was warned. Don't you dare go in. The guy is dying. He's in his death throes. That means he's not dying tomorrow. He's dying. And he walked in and the guy died.
Simultaneously.
He's either alive. He didn't die simultaneously. He's in the room. He entered the room. Okay, so let's see the rush. This is why we learn rush. This is so beautiful. That's why the rush is on the side. Come on. I know exactly what he's doing. He's asking the Kesher Mishnah Kasha. It's a great question, but we have to learn the rush first.
I go into a room, bring the mace in,
if the mace comes in, partly, it's not like, I don't know if that would be layavai. The mace would have to be the chayra arrive in the room. It's a good question. But again, let's see the, I think we should see the rush before I ask any questions. Can I do the rush first? It makes it easier for me.
I've got a definitional question.
Yes.
Is he sitting or standing as the guy when the guy
dies? Makes no difference. Thank you. Dr. Rush. Dioxu Geisus. Frack the rush. How do you warn a guy? He's not dead yet. What are you warning him? He's not doing a lot now. You're saying he might die. He might not die. That warning a guy, you might be doing an isser, is adequate. The linear is Dr. Us, no. Even the rive geisatsim lemisa. Since the most geisatsim die, they don't survive. But have yasra suffix. That's not called the suffix. You can warn the guy, you are going to be either an isser. Based on the statistics, the rive geisatsim die. Ulohaki nakakshu geisatsim like kamakshu chayla. The guy is sick, you can't warn him that way. Most chaylim recover. Mikan yeshlomayt, Dr. Rush, the kayan also the kanas lebeis akvaras, afilu lekraivim shematamet lehem. A kayan cannot walk into beis akvaras even for his relatives. Why? He's walking in for his relatives. He has a right to walk in to be matamet to his relatives. Because in this sugya we said that the minute he leaves mace 1 and now goes to mace 2, he added the level tuma. That's the right yeshayla. The rest says I ma'al alachar. This is a new limud from this whole sugya. Reuben lost his father. He went to the mace hakavaras to bury his father. Totally legal. He finished burying his father. There's no more tumah b'chaburin. Now he's exiting the Beis HaKvaris, and he's under a tree together with somebody else, some other mace. He just did tumah b'chaburin. He just added tumah. He's tumah for being metameh to his father. He's now exiting the Beis HaKvaris. Right? He's already mechul b'yayman, he's tumah, but he's going under an aisle with another mace, which he has no right to be. But he's under the same ayah as a mace. We'll get to our mace in a second.
Maybe I'm understanding.
Kibur means you're attached to the mace.
You're opposite.
Why not?
But enough to touch somebody else.
That's the shayla. That was Rabbi Shutz's shayla yesterday. From the rag, the rest says over here he might touch a mace or be under an ayah of a mace.
Oh, my Allah.
Nagiya. Ayo means you're standing on top of a grave.
Oh, that's Nagiya, but it's a different kind of ayo. Right. Thank you. You're right. Okay.
Rabbi.
Not going to complicate anymore after. We'll leave it there. Now, I just want to point out that Young Israel, here in Cleveland, has a section for Kahanim to be buried in. that the relatives can go without being exposed to oil of another mace. But in order to go back, they have to go around. They can't continue on the road. They have to travel back. They have to go turn around and walk out. Because further on, there is an oil in Mount Olive. Rabbi Modes was buried in that section where his son was able to come to the Kavura, but his son was not able to proceed with everybody else around the road. He had to turn around and walk out. They had, again, young Israel made sure that they have, again, obviously they know what they're doing, right? Young Israel made sure they're from, you know, they're Orthodox. And they, young Israel's chalk has a little piece, I'm telling you what it is.
In Mount Olive.
In Mount Olive, that has no oil on the way in. And no oil on the way out if you turn around and go backwards. But if you proceed on the way normal people go out, you would go under oil. So for a relative to attend the Kvura, which I was there by Rabbi Modes, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, he would have to go back, and his son turned around and went back. Because he can't be Matame. His daughters don't have that restriction, so therefore there was no problem. Yes, Doctor.
Rabbi?
Yeah. Can you hold 1 second, Harvey? Yes.
Yep.
Makes no difference.
The other is, I don't understand what you said at the beginning with this making the skills in terms of warning someone before they do something.
Right, but they're going to, if they do this action, they're definitely going to get malchus. When you warn a guy not to walk into a room with a geisus, he might never get malchus, the guy might never die.
This is true, 72 hours, yeah.
So again, so that's the kasha. That's Rav Suffolk. You never warn a guy, if you do this, you might be Iber Nisser. That's called Rav Suffolk.
So this is the same as warning someone the day before not to kill someone.
It's the same halacha. It's not the exact same case, but similar. Yes, Harvey.
So I don't quite understand why, if the death occurs after he's warned, when the guy looks like he's about to be dying, that would still be good. The prohibition is not to enter. Lo yavo. So he's not. If the guy dies after he enters, why is the hasra still good? It's one thing if the guy died between the warning and when he got himself into the room. But if he's already established himself in the room...
This is the Ketz of Mishnah's Kasha. And the Ketz of Mishnah says that if a person does an action that will result in a lav, it's called an action. Even though at the time of the action, the lav is not there.
But the essence of the lav here is his entering. He's already entered, is my point.
You're right. So let me bring you an example that the Ketzer Mishnah brings. The Torah said, do not put on shatnas. Do not put it on. Right? Guy puts it on, and then he's warned that he's not allowed to wear shatnas. Now, when he put it on and did the lav, he did not know it was shatnas. He was a shaykik. He was not warned, but he put it on. Now he's warned that he's wearing shatnas. The Gemara says that's called an action, because it was an action that created the situation now that he's in.
I think there's a difference. I think there's a difference, because it was always shatnas, whether he was warned or not. The guy was not already dead.
Well, Rav says he's going to die, so halachically we consider it like he's already, meaning he's not ready dead. But since Rav is going to die, we consider this an action that majority of the times will be a violation of the law.
I would understand that explanation. If we considered him dead already, I would understand that. But if we don't, if he's not actually halachically dead...
No, but we don't consider him dead already. But we're saying that the action is walking in to a majority of cases where there will be a dead person. Meaning, like, let's say I'm 100% sure he would die. And they warned him, don't go in, because the guy's going to die in a second, in a minute. Or 5 seconds, or 20 seconds, whatever the fear is. That would be a definite warning that walking in is an Isser. Even though it's not the walking in that's the Isser, but the walking in will result in an Isser. That's called an action of Isser.
I hear. So I'll just, the last thing I'll say, why it still doesn't make sense to me is because I thought the essence of the lav was walking in, not being there, walking in. So if the guy isn't dead yet, he's no longer walking once he's in there when the guy passes away. That's my only
point. Okay, we'll talk about it maybe more, but it boils down to the fact that it came about through an act of walking in. But we'll talk about it. Maybe everyone...